Welcome to season two of the Mindfulness Pilates podcast. I'm Beverly Densham, Pilates teacher of over 22 years. I really look forward to bringing you tips to reduce back pain and feel good, relaxation, positive affirmation, and inspiration every week to inspire you in body and mind for more relaxation, stretching, core and back strength, and happiness. Big welcome to today's podcast. So we've got a lovely guest on for you today, Jules Anderson, and we're going to be talking about three tips to eat well, feel and be well. So very excited for you to be getting to meet Jules today. We met through Women in Business, which is really, really wonderful. Here's a bit about Jules before we start chatting. So Jules helps women in their 40s take back control of their own bodies and health so that they can live the lives they are meant to. And Jules trained at the Institute of Integrative Nutrition in New York with pioneers in health and wellness, including Deepak Chopra. And she has a first class degree in chemistry and combines all of this, loves helping people alleviate symptoms, get to the underlying causes of pain and discomfort and be well again. And she has a beautiful, unique approach to wellness and wonderful results for staying well. So really excited to have a chat with Jules today all about this and how this can help you, you know, be even more well than you are too. Hope you enjoy it. Here's me chatting to Jules now. So big welcome, Jules, onto the podcast. And it's all about eating to feel fabulous today. Jules, welcome.
Hi, it's so lovely to be here.
Hooray for this, hooray for this. So what is your journey with food and eating to feel fabulous? How did it come about for you personally, first of all?
Well, to be honest, I mean, I've basically always absolutely loved food. So that's really been at the core of sort of everything I do is about enjoying food. And in terms of my journey towards doing it as a business, I've always been really interested in nutrition. I did a science degree, I did a chemistry degree back in the day, and was always really interested in the biochemistry. But, you know, I was also one of these people that just always was interested in the nutritional side of it, not ever to lose weight or anything like that, but it was just anything that's going to help me feel more energetic and just have more kind of zest for life. So I used to sort of read every book that ever came out and, you know, watch TV programs and read articles about health and wellness and different ways of eating, you know, sort of before they became trendy. To the kind of science nerd in me likes all of that rigor. But then also I've always had a really deep interest in the mind-body connection and have done yoga since I was sort of 15 and used to do it in my bedroom at home. Again, before it was even trendy, and just followed on from sort of combining the sort of mind body connection and the yoga and the spiritual side of health with the more scientific based, rigorous, evidence based ways of eating. And it was always going to be something that turned into my career. You know, I did have another career for a while, and then it was after my son was born. I thought, no, this is when I need to make this my full-time career, and retrained and took it from there.
Yeah, so you're not someone that's had like loads of problems with your health. It's just something you've always been into and you've always been healthy then.
Do you know, I think that a lot of what I do helps me manage my health so that I'm at my best. You know, if anything, I have a tendency to push myself too hard. I have a tendency to take on too much. I have a tendency to, you know, go and push forward with everything I do with determination. And what I believe that the eating well and the sort of mindfulness and the yoga practice and things like that, they keep me grounded, and it stops me from, otherwise I think I'd be really at the mercy of being scattered, being overstressed, being overwhelmed. So it does more to just keep me healthy and keep me grounded.
Yeah, I mean, I actually had, until I read your bio, I actually had no idea that you were a yoga teacher. So I didn't know I got a yoga teacher on my podcast. But yeah, we're talking about the eating a bit today, aren't we? So it's really interesting. So what's, I keep feeling like we're going to the tips today. So what top tips have you got for people on the eating front?
Well, for me, one of the main things that I feel, again, a lot of other people involved in nutrition and food miss in giving people advice is savor your food and enjoy it. I think too many are focused on all the things that you need to take out. And then when you're depriving yourself or you feel restricted, then you know what it's like. As soon as someone says you can't eat something or you can't do something, all you want to think about is that thing. So it's a big part of the reason that other health programs don't work. So I'm very much about in really enjoying your food and making sure that that's an enjoyable part. But from the more scientific biochemical point of view, when you savor your food, your body's more relaxed, you actually digest it properly. You know, when we're rushing around, when we're doing a million and one things, or eating in the car or eating on the go, then our digestion shuts off. And this is our body's sort of evolutionary wisdom that, you know, our body thinks that we need the energy to do other things. So it shuts digestion down. So whenever you're eating at your desk or running to a meeting or all these things that people habitually do now, we're not, you know, people spend lots and lots of money on expensive supplements and expensive organic food and all of this kind of thing. And then they go eating it in a rush or when they're stressed or watching, you know, the news on TV, which is stressful, and it's shutting down our digestion. So all these expensive things that we're buying for ourselves, we're kind of wasting because we're not absorbing the nutrition from them. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so my first one is always about really making sure you relax, you savor, you enjoy food, you sit at the table, and just, yeah, really relax and enjoy it.
Yeah, I think my favourite place to eat is at the beach or having a picnic or being outside somewhere or my table here actually is really nice. But yeah, as you say, it's like you don't want to then be at your table and half the other people are on their iPhone either. That's not good either, is it?
I know. And that sort of that partial distraction that we end up in on, you know, again, almost all the time. You know, in my house, it's like we're having a meal. Phones are nowhere in sight. You know, I don't want phones anywhere near, whether I'm at home or outside. It's like, do you know, you've got to engage with what you're doing. You want to engage with the food. Because what's happening a lot of times is that we're eating the food and we're actually not even tasting it. We're in such a rush or we're so busy watching something or doing something else that we're not even tasting the food we're eating. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you're going to eat whatever it is you decide to eat, at least enjoy it.
Yeah,
very important. And it's much better for you too.
Yeah, very important. I enjoyed my lunch on the balcony today. We've got the sea is in the distance over there, and the balcony's just there. So I had my lunch, and I'm trying to do this as much as possible. Have my lunch on my deck chair on my balcony, as it's nice spring weather at the minute.
Yeah, exactly. And when you can do that, and you're sitting in a place that feels good and you're relaxed about it, it makes such a difference to not only how you feel but to the actual what's going on in your body and how, you know, the health that it's going to bring you. And it sounds, you know, it sounds too simplistic, but you know, I've seen people transform their, particularly when people have digestive issues, you can actually often transform an awful lot of bloating, constipation, IBS, and all those kind of symptoms just by relaxing more when you're eating, sitting down, chewing properly, you know, just and enjoying the food.
How many times, I've heard rumours about this over the years, but how many times are you supposed to chew? Is there an amount you're supposed to chew?
Oh, you know, you'll hear, you know, you tend to hear around the sort of 30 to 35 mark. Most people will do like 5 or 6. But actually, you know, there's a saying in health circles, chew your drinks and drink your foods. The idea being that when you eat something, you chew it enough that it's actually liquid when you swallow. Mm. Because actually, an awful lot of the digestion starts when the food's still in your mouth. You know, we're not just, most of the carbohydrate breakdown is starting in our mouths, you know, so actually chewing properly is really important. And then, and what you also find is that things taste sweeter the more you chew them. So they'll actually start tasting nicer and you start to do that more. And I've seen this countless times. Clients will start to find things naturally just too sweet without ever trying to go, oh, I'm cutting the sugar out of my coffee, or I'm going to eat less sweet cakes and things. Countless times I have clients coming to me going, do you know what? I can't eat baked beans anymore because they're too sweet. Or I can't have sugar in my coffee anymore because it's just too sweet. I don't even want I had someone yesterday say, I can't even drink cappuccino anymore because just the milk in it is now too sweet for me. And she'd made no conscious decision to do that. It's just her palate had adjusted just from changing simple things in the way she's eating. You know, and what we chew, it's like the saliva helps break down the food. It sets off all these other enzymes that starts why your tummy rumbles. You know, it's all the sort of, you know, the enzymes are starting to get going and that digestive process is starting, you know. And if you sort of woof down your food without thinking, none of this happens. So it's just going straight through and then nothing's pooped out the other end and nothing's getting absorbed. You know, we need to absorb it because it's the food that makes every cell in our body, you know, and you know, if our skin's looking dull or our hair's getting brittle or we're starting to feel achy or things aren't working properly, it's because we've not got the nutrients that we need to make those things happen. And the way to get the nutrients is not just about what we eat, it's about making sure they're absorbed properly.
Yeah, so basically it's back to basics. My which look, the buzzword real little bit is mindfulness, but it's about being in the moment and mindful with how you're eating is what you're saying, isn't it? Which is how we did more in the, I say, the olden days before technology took over the world, which is obviously a positive and can be addictive and a negative as well.
Yeah, and then I suppose moving on from that is about picking quality rather than the sort of quantity. And what happens when you choose quality food, sort of real food, you know, move away from processed food, and you'll find that your appetite will go down, your levels of hunger will go down. The reason you feel hungry, the reason you're craving things is because your body's not getting the nutrition it needs. And so you're still feeling hungry because your body needs the nutrition. And if you're giving it the right nutrition, you can stop having to measure things, weigh things, check calorie levels, check fat units. You know, that's exhausting. You know, I work primarily with women over 40 and we're so busy. We've got families, we've got careers, we've got businesses, we've got houses to, you know, households to run and all of this kind of thing. We don't have the energy left to apply a lot of willpower to what we're eating.
Well, so we're going for three tips here, aren't we? So this is tip two then.
Yes, exactly. So it's about choosing quality foods and proper, you know, nutrient dense foods. So foods that you know have a lot of nutrition in them, you know, and the more real and natural state they're in, the better. So the fewer packets of things you can buy, the fewer tins of things, the more you can make things from homemade.
Things like I've just had a kidney bean vegan homemade chili for lunch. That had a tin of kidney beans, and you don't mean things like that, do you?
Well, no, I mean, it's again, within reason. You know, we have to be realistic. You know, we're modern women living in the current, you know, culture that we can't, you know, I'm not about going all supernatural and growing everything in your back garden and never having a tin or a packet in your house because it's not realistic. So for me, you know, yes, I have tins of pulses and I have tins of tomatoes and things like that, because that helps you make a really good homemade meal, really.
Yeah.
Where, you know, so it's about getting a balance. You know, I'm never about being purist, and because it's too restrictive and it's too unrealistic. You know, in today's world, we can't expect that of ourselves. There's too many things going on in our lives to put that kind of pressure on ourselves. Yeah. You know, if tipping a tin of kidney beans, you know, I'm there's plenty of people, and at times I will cook my pulses when I've got time and you know, and I'm planning ahead, I might do that. But you know, if a tin of good quality kidney beans makes the difference between you making your own or not, then do it. So, you know, I'm all for trying to make things as simple as possible, but keep it as real as possible. And then what happens is, when you're eating real food, your hunger and your cravings and the things that naturally prevent people from getting healthy, which is a lot of the time they're craving the kind of foods that are less healthy, rather than applying willpower, is those things will naturally diminish if you're feeding yourself well. You know, I'm much more about what can we introduce into your diet and into your life and into your, you know, your day-to-day living that's going to help support you, rather than focus on all the things you have to take out. Because it's, you know, it's too depressing to, you know, to just be given a list of all the foods you're not allowed to eat. You know, food's such a big pleasure in life. You know, we celebrate with food. We sort of comfort ourselves with food. And we can do that. We can, even on the comfort food side, you can comfort yourself with food and more look after yourself with food in a more nourishing way than the sort of what we think of as comfort eating, which tends to be, you know, rubbishy, sweet pastries and cakes and bagels. And you know, we think of that as being comfort food. But, you know, there's a lot of things you can eat as comfort food that will help when you're feeling vulnerable or you're feeling tired or you're feeling a bit under par. There's lots of things that you can do that feel comforting and delicious that don't necessarily mean going and buying, you know, a load of stuff from the cake aisle in your local supermarket.
Yeah, full of processed sugar.
Exactly. And then, and gradually, and again, I've seen this over, you know, I've been doing this more than 10 years and countless times that clients are surprised and they'll, you know, they'll ring me up or they'll email me, go, oh my gosh, I just had this and I can't eat it anymore. How did that happen? Because, you know, they've just gradually tweaked very slowly over time what they're eating. And they're, you know, our bodies are clever, you know, our bodies aren't stupid, they're not letting us down, they're trying to keep us safe. But we have to give our bodies the right signals, we have to give our bodies the right environment, we have to feed our bodies, you know, nourishing food, and then it will behave the way it's meant to behave. You know, we're not meant to be overweight and unhealthy and aching and stiff and all of these things that we so often are.
Thank you. And what's your third tip today?
And then I suppose another one is make sure you allow yourself, it links into those, you know, allow yourself treats. Don't deny yourself, you know, if you can go 80-20 on the way you eat. An awful lot of the time, the reason health programs fail is just the unrealistic, unsustainable nature of them. So all you might need is to be invited out to a party or a wedding, and then you want to have a glass of wine or you want to have a piece of cake or you want to enjoy the party food, and then you feel like you've completely failed, and then people will go back to zero. Whereas if you can allow yourself some latitude and find some treats that are healthier, and there's lots of, and as your palate changes, you'll find what you want as a treat changes anyway. You know, I've got a treat and I love chocolate, but I have dark chocolate at home as my treat. And then I don't need, you know, I can't eat more than, you know, a couple of big squares of it, because that's all my palate needs. And then I feel like I've had my treat. But that's taken time for my palate to adjust. And if you allow yourself, you know, you allow yourself the time for your body to adjust gradually, then you don't have to kind of beat it up. We're a little bit, particularly women, we're a little bit self-flagellating when it comes to, you know, our diets and our food and our health. You know, we like to kind of think of ourselves as, oh, we've failed, or we've done it wrong, or this just hasn't worked, or I've got no willpower. And actually, you know, that can all change if we're just a bit more patient with ourselves. And don't offer this sort of big overnight transformation, which, you know, so often, time and time again, you know, January rolls around and everyone's doing these new year, new you, change your life in 30 days. And they might change their life in 30 days, but then 30 days on from that, it's changed back again, because what you have to do, you can't do on a sustainable basis. So if you give yourself a bit of latitude, allow yourself to fall off the wagon now and again, allow yourself to have treats when you really need that, it makes the difference between something lasting and something just being another of those, you know, health programs that didn't work.
I can definitely see why you say that. I've been on a long journey with food and I just, like you, absolutely love it. And I have the dark chocolate as well. My favourite as well is, I have chocolate every day, but I have the vegan, really high quality vegan chocolate, like rose chocolate or different ones. But they haven't got any processed sugar in there, more like they have like coconut sugar and things like that in it, which is, it's much better than the processed, isn't it?
Exactly. And then what quite often I've, a lot of clients have done, one of the things I'll sort of encourage them, if chocolate's their thing, is actually, you know, you can melt chocolate and then get good quality, melt it, and then add in, just sprinkle over whatever kind of things that you like. So, you know, like nuts in particular, you know, or little bits of toasted coconut, or you can sprinkle in all sorts of things. And then
what else? Because, like, you know, if somebody doesn't like nuts and coconut.
Well, dried fruit. A lot of people like a little bit of dried fruit.
Right.
You know, nuts, there's lots of things that you can, depending on the kind of things you like. You know, some people like sort of dried goji berries, and you know, that's not my thing. I'm not big on dried fruit, but some people like that. And you know, if a little bit of that in some dark chocolate takes that craving away, then do it. And again, what people find is they'll start out often doing more dried fruit and end up each time they make it doing slightly less and slightly less.
Mm. Don't you think though that in the end, if you change your lifestyle over a long period of time, like I eat well and healthy all the time, so the treats are just the naturally good treats anyway, apart from the odd piece of gluten-free cake at somewhere, lovely now and again, as you say, with that I suppose that is my extra treat, which has obviously got the sugar in or whatever. But don't you think that in the end, when you eat so well, if you do get to the point where you eat so well all the time, you don't get cravings anymore? I don't get cravings.
Exactly. And it takes time, and then you know, it just, that craving goes away. I no longer get the same craving. I can go into a coffee shop and not want, the cakes can look lovely, but I just know that they're going to feel too sweet for me. You know, if I bake cakes at home for my son, then, you know, I put a fraction of the sugar in, or I put coconut sugar in, or I use a lot of other sweeteners, but still put a fraction in. And even he, you know, he's 15 and he finds some bought, you know, things that he'll get elsewhere, and he'll go, it just is too sweet, mum. So, you know, it's just about your palate just changes as you said, you know, and the more you get used to it. People will say to me, oh, you're so good not having a cake. So I'm not so good. I just genuinely don't want it because it will taste too sweet. It's not me being good. And I think that language is, it's really important for us to get out of that language of what I should have and shouldn't have. What can I have and can't I have? What's good and what's bad? Oh, I was bad. No, you weren't. Just give yourself a break. You know, that happened. You'd rather not. But, you know, as time goes on, those times when you think you've eaten something that you would prefer not to have done, it will just, those urges will decline and those cravings will decline, and you'll just gradually change.
Yeah, it's true. I'm a big fan of juicing and smoothies after going to Jason Vale's Super Juice Me documentary in London. What's your take on, and I think that's an incredible way to get nutrition in, what's your take on smoothies and juices, incorporating it into your lifestyle?
Yeah, absolutely love them. Absolutely love them. What I always would urge people to just be aware of is that a lot of people, when they start juicing and doing smoothies, is they focus on the fruit. And particularly if you're doing, when you're very first beginning, smoothies can be better because you get the whole the fiber, and you get everything in there, not just the juice. And at the beginning, because most people will be using predominantly fruit, that's a big sugar hit. So I try and steer people away from doing very fruit-based juices when they're starting out, because it can send your blood sugar doing all sorts of things that you don't want it to do, spike your blood sugar. So it's not as good. Whereas if you start with smoothies, if you can add in things like avocado, you can put avocado in a smoothie and not taste it at all. It just makes it smoother and creamier and thicker and more filling. Or put a spoonful of almond butter in it, or even just some soaked nuts, cashews and things to make it creamy. And what that does is it helps stabilize the sugars in the fruit, so that instead of spiking your blood sugar level, where you get that, like you do when you have a bar of chocolate, you'll get a rush of energy, and then half an hour later you're crashing and you're needing some more. So fruit-based juices can do that. And even using sweet vegetables like carrots and beetroots and the things that a lot of people put in these juices, it can be quite disorientating for your blood sugar levels. So if you do them in smoothies and make sure you can add in some protein. Nut butter is a brilliant one. And, you know, things like avocado, the fats in avocado, or coconut oil, if you don't mind the taste of coconut, they can just help balance. And then gradually, as you get used to it, dial down the level of fruit and dial up the level of vegetables. And there's certain vegetables you can put in there, again, that you don't taste. So actually, if you can take just a small piece of white cabbage, it won't taste of anything. You won't even notice it. But actually, the properties in a piece of raw white cabbage, that if you can get that every day, they've got amazing anti-cancer properties, amazing sort of anti-inflammatory. So it's a really good thing to know those kind of vegetables that you can put in a smoothie that don't taste of anything. People think, oh, I've got to put spinach in, and then I go, oh, I can't bear the taste of spinach, it's too green. And that's because they've tried that too soon. You need to just really sort of gingerly, you know, on a very gradual basis, add a bit more vegetables just until your palate adjusts. Don't try to do too much too quickly.
So yeah, we're all going to be going to get the cabbage now. I always, because I don't eat nuts, some people have nut allergies, so I always put the linseed, chia, pumpkin, sunflower seeds, ground stuff instead as a substitute.
And they're great at, particularly things like chia seeds are great for thickening it up if you prefer it a bit thicker. You know, I quite like having a smoothie almost that I can spoon out of the glass, because it feels more filling. You know, they're going to fill you up if that's what you're having, maybe as a breakfast.
So there's
lots of things to do, but definitely just make sure that you sort of gradually shift down the proportions of sweet fruits and vegetables, and dial up things like, you know, berries are brilliant, any kind of vegetables. A little bit of banana will add enough sweetness. You know, if you've got lots of veggies, just put, and freezing the bananas first as well. I'll often take, if bananas are starting to get a bit ripe, I'll break them into a few pieces and put them in the freezer. And then just one small, you know, a third of a banana frozen, chucked into a smoothie, just adds enough sweetness, makes it cooler and makes it creamier, and it's a really nice addition to juices.
That's a very good tip. I'm afraid I put a whole banana in, but anyway. But I'm sure it's a very good tip.
It just, as time goes on, you know, you just get more of a taste for you know, and you've got to adjust it to your own taste.
And how much
a whole banana.
It's very good. Thank you for all those amazing tips. We're going to go into a meditation now, and this is inspired by Jules. And it's going to be a happy memory or happy holiday meditation. So I really hope you enjoy this. You can do this work. So welcome to today's happy memory holiday meditation. Close your eyes, sitting or lying down. Either placing your hands on your heart or wherever is comfortable for you. And you're going to breathe and relax. In through your nose, out through your nose, relax. And just relaxing more and more on each out breath. And you're going to give yourself permission to take yourself to a favorite place, a favorite memory, or perhaps a favourite holiday destination that you've loved to go to in the past. So this can be a holiday at home nearby where you live. This can be a holiday or place that you loved going to at one point. And you're going to breathe and relax and take yourself there right now. And you can indulge in those happy memories of being there, going to this beautiful place, being in this beautiful place, and remembering the happy memories of that time as you breathe and relax. Giving yourself permission to take yourself to this beautiful holiday, happy memory, and happy time. Perhaps it was a beach, perhaps it was the mountains. Perhaps it was a cozy holiday at home. You choose. In through your nose, out through your nose, relax. With the natural rhythm of your breathing, your own breath and your own breathing can be the most relaxing breathing in the whole world. Breathe and relax. And just enjoy daydreaming about this happy memory for another 5 breaths in and out in your own time. And you can take yourself here anytime you like. Just make sure your feet are grounded on the floor, whether you're sitting or lying down. If you're lying down, have your knees bent so your feet can be grounded on the floor. Wiggle your toes, wiggle your feet, and now wiggle your fingers. Giving thanks for this short and beautiful happy memory holiday meditation. Take yourself to this calm breathing whenever you like, this beautiful relaxation abdominal breathing with happy shoulders. Take a breath in now, or yawn, wiggle your fingers and your toes. Take a little stretch if you want to. Roll your head side to side, lying down or sitting. And slowly coming out of meditation in your own time. And sending you lots and lots of love. Oh, so I really hope you enjoyed today's meditation. It was a short and sweet one today. It was a beautiful little chance to escape into a gorgeous, happy memory holiday meditation. How did you enjoy yours, Jules? So Jules is just going to come back onto the podcast now. I went somewhere lovely. I'll share mine in a minute. Jules, how did you enjoy your little relax?
Yes, it was lovely. I was actually on a yoga holiday in Turkey, looking at sort of 7 a.m. looking out as the sun came up over the mountains. So that was lovely. Mm-hmm. Nice to be transported in my mind and body, even if I'm not there physically.
Yeah, and we can make it can be as real in our mind whether we're physically there or not. That's the power of visualization, actually. Oh, that sounds very, very nice indeed. I was on a beautiful camping holiday with my son. It's just this tent and this beautiful view of the sea and fun cooking outside, actually. So that was probably one of my favorite eating experiences ever, was eating and cooking outside there by the sea with my son, actually. Beautiful. Oh, so every podcast we do, we pick a positive affirmation and angel card for you. So I'm just shuffling my happy kids cards now, wrong way up. Here we go. So best card message. It'd be funny if we get the eating one, isn't it? Let's see what we get. Best message for the podcast today. They are the wrong way around again. They're fiddling. Best card message for the podcast, please, for you. This one seems to be jumping out. Happy dreams. Well, we had a happy memories and happy holidays. It says, I enjoy happy dreams. Bedtime is a relaxing, happy time. I sleep well. So what does that mean to you listening? You can think about it. You can talk about it. You can write or journal about what this means to you. Jules, what does that mean to you today?
You know, it's really funny because it's something that I'm talking to clients about so much, and even more so at the moment, is the importance of good sleep, and actually being able to see that place as being a sort of place of relaxation. So it's so essential to so much more than just about being awake. It's so central to how we feel about life, to managing cravings. I mean, it's massive. If ever you're struggling with sugar cravings, look at whether you're getting enough sleep, because it's really important. So, you know, sleep's a huge one. And I've just had, particularly with all the anxieties of COVID going on, you know, it's something really important for people to sort of make their bedrooms a bit more of a sanctuary, and you know, try and make that something that you prioritize, because it's so important. You know, you'll feel happier, as well as, you know, regardless of all the health benefits, and there's just, you know, so many of them, you'll just feel happier as a result of getting some sleep.
Yeah, so true. Personally, what this means to me is I actually didn't get enough sleep last night, and I'm feeling it today. I'm pretty sparky in all my work and everything, but physically my energy's not as high as usual. So I'm just going to get, I was naughty and I got carried away reading my latest book last night for an extra 20 minutes. And oh, now I regret it. So that's what that means to me today. But generally, I sleep very well. So that's that one today. So what does it mean to you listening, wherever you're listening? Because sometimes you might get a positive affirmation, it's opposite to how you're feeling. So then you can think to yourself, well, how can I feel more like that? Because you don't want to just, you know, you've got to think about, you know, honestly what it means. So let's go into an angel card. Would you like to do an angel card together, Jules?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is my angelic meaning card deck. Best, can't be funny, we get the eating one on here as well. We didn't get the eating one there. Best is an eating one in here as well with Archangel Raphael. Let's see. Best card message today. This one is jumping out. We got relaxation, and it says relax every day. Treat yourself to some relaxation. You will feel better and your work-life balance will improve. What does that mean to you wherever you're listening right now? Are you getting enough relaxed time in your daily life? Jules, what's that personally mean to you?
Yeah, really, really, really important for me to do, because, you know, I mentioned earlier on, you know, I have a tendency to take on too much and push myself a bit, and I can get, you know, could get quite scattered. And it's really important to be able to sort of recognize when I'm feeling like, oh, I'm feeling either a bit tired or I'm feeling a little bit slightly jangly, and just to take some time. Sometimes it only needs 10 minutes of just going, do you know what, I'm going to make a nice cup of tea and I'm going to sit down on the sofa and just listen to some music for 10 minutes. Sometimes that's all it needs. Sometimes it's just I need to just go out and be in the fresh air and just get some sun on my face. And you know, relaxation doesn't always mean no movement. You know, relaxation can also be creativity, because actually that's something I find an awful lot of times, myself too, I can be really guilty of that, but women in particular have this tendency to put the kind of things that give them that more being in the flow type pleasure, we'll put that to one side. So whether it's, you know, we like to go and, you know, visit art galleries, or we like to play the piano, or we like to, you know, just things that bring us, read a book, or things that just bring us joy and get us in the flow, do some gardening. And we often just put them on the back burner because we've got stuff that we feel is important to do. So yeah, relaxation isn't always just, you know, lie in the park or go and have a bath. It can be active relaxation, and that's every bit as powerful. It doesn't need to be long. You know, for me, I can just unwind for 10 minutes with a nice cup of tea, without away from work, away from, you know, thinking about chores. And it's just a little way of boosting. So learning to be aware of what's going on in your body and recognize it and kind of honor it is really important. We tend to plow on, oh, I'm just going to push through. And we often will find ourselves just go, oh, we'll just push through and get this finished. And actually, if you take 10 minutes, 15 minutes, it can often mean that you still get things finished sooner because you've just got the energy back. So it's super important for everything.
Yeah, very true. For me, yeah, I just love having a wonderful morning routine. And as you said, you know, part of that, the relaxing as part of that is just going for a walk around the block or something and enjoying the birds singing and the fresh air and no phone with me, and or mindfulness Pilates, where, as you say, sometimes you're moving. But yeah, like I went and just did I laid on my bed before a podcast today and I just had a cup of tea and then just laid on my bed for a 20 breath, you know, few minute meditation. And it can be so many different things, but that's what that means to me today. Jules, thank you so much. But we're going to do a little takeaway tip from you in just a second. Where can everyone find you on your website?
My website is feelglorious.com.
Beautiful.
And then on social media, I'm at Glorious Jules.
Yeah, lovely. Thank you very, very much. And anything else to ask you? Yeah, have you got a takeaway tip today? One little takeaway tip for everyone. One thing you'd like to just say as a parting word today?
For me, it's about, I think, prioritising your health, just taking some time for it. You know, women, we tend to put our own needs last. And I think just knowing that actually taking care of yourself isn't a luxury. You know, you need to do it. But do it in a way that feels good for you. You know, doesn't feel like another thing on your to-do list. You know, doing those things that you enjoy. And make it a priority, because when you are feeling fabulous, then everything else works so much better. You know, you're more productive at work, your relationships with your friends and your family and are so much stronger and better, and you've just got more of a kind of zest for life when you're looking after yourself. So don't see it as a luxury, you know, see it as a necessity. And for anyone running their own business, you know, build it into your business plan, that kind of, you know, self-care aspect and making sure that you're nourishing and looking after yourself. It's really, really important, you know, because if we fall apart, then everything else around us falls apart.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you so much, Jules.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Lots of love. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Mindfulness Pilates podcast. Please rate and review on your podcast platform. You can access my free healing meditation and Pilates to ease back pain in 3 minutes on my website. You can also book your reduced back pain to feel good one-to-one Mindfulness Pilates program on Zoom or Mindfulness Pilates membership by going to mindfulnesspilates.com.